Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Jody Mullen. Welcome to Freakishly Well-Behaved Kids. This series of podcasts is dedicated to helping parents and other people who are connected with children, like teachers and coaches and daycare providers, help children behave and be their best. I'm in a unique position to share this with you because I've been a child counselor and play therapist for nearly 20 years. I'm also a mom. I learned many of my lessons from my child clients and also my own children. This has informed my parenting as well as the parent coaching that I do as part of my clinical practice. I've recognized in working with thousands of children and parents that there are some simple principles for parenting. I'll cover more than 20 principles for blissful parenting so you too can have freakishly well-behaved kids. These principles are simple and life-altering. They will change and enhance the relationships you have with children behave, how you feel about yourself around children, and improve your overall parenting esteem. In this podcast, I'll talk about a specific principle or lesson and how you can apply it. There will be special guests that will further our conversations about parenting children. You'll want to stay tuned for my upcoming book, Blissful Parenting, and check out my website, www.JodyAnnMullen.com, or follow me on Twitter at Dr. Jody Mullen. I also wanted to say, I have a couple other things I want to add before we get started. I wanted to say when June and I, June's my guest today, and I'll introduce her in a second, when we share stories related to our clinical work, we have made every effort to disguise any identifying information. So any likenesses are mere coincidence. And then one more thing, I'm really excited to tell our listeners, June, today about Naughty No More. It's a workbook that I created with my kids and my partner to help kids make good decisions. It's available as of today. really easy to order. You can do that through calling area code 315-342-9255. That's Integrative Counseling Services number. Or you can order it through Integrative Counseling website, which is just www.integrativecounseling.us. And we'll be talking about the book specifically on our next podcast, so stay tuned for that as well. My guest today is my friend, sidekick, mental health counselor, play therapist, mom, and grandma, June Rickley. And we're going to be addressing moving today. So welcome, June.
Hi, Jody.
Hello. Okay, so...
Oh, wait, before you get going, I'd like to just also say congratulations on your new, to you and your family on your workbook. That's really exciting.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. We're really proud of it. My husband actually just sent me a text that said, you know, he was just looking at the book again, and he got like a little teary-eyed because it's such a cool thing that, you know, that we did that as a family. So we're feeling really very positive about it. We hope that it will help a lot of, you know, kids and their families as well. It's something you can do with your kids. But again, we'll talk more about that next time. So this time we're talking about moving, which in some you know, the first thing that I really did want to say about moving in particular is that it's a little bit difficult to talk about, you know, strategies for making moving a more blissful experience for you as parents and helping your kids behave and be pleasant and not, you know, really, kind of like thrown off by a move. And part of that is that the circumstances around moving often sort of dictate, you know, that kind of thing. So so when we're talking about moving today, we're talking about, like, really an ideal situation when it's your choice to move. And we do recognize that many families and children have to move because of circumstances that aren't ideal. And that would include things like divorce and separation you know, tragedy, those kind of things. So we'll talk about those kind of moves and losses on some other podcasts. But today we're really talking about a more ideal circumstance when the choice to move is the family's choice and it's a positive one. So, and part of the reason I wanted to clarify that is that because although it is ideal and although it is positive and it can be like a super exciting time. Transitions are typically difficult for kids, and so this can be a very stressful time as well, even though it has that positive spin on it. So anyway, that's where we wanted to get started today. So I really wanted to just make sure I was clear about the circumstances of the move and understanding that not everybody moves for ideal circumstances. So I just moved actually 2 months ago, or no, it'll be 3 months next week, 3 months ago, so this is kind of fresh in my head. But have worked with lots of families clinically and, you know, families that I just know personally who moved and were convinced or concerned, not convinced, concerned about how that would affect their kids. And I know, June, you had said, you know, when your children were young, you moved twice, I think. Is that what you had shared?
Actually three times.
Oh wow!
One was out of state and away from family, but then the next move was within the same town, just you know, a few miles up the road.
Right, and that does change things too. I mean, that was my move, as I moved a mile and a half away from where I used to live, so it didn't cause, you know, these huge big changes. So, I mean, one of the things that we want parents to think about when you know a move is pending is how do you prepare for the move? There's so many, you know, having this be fresh in my head, there's so many details that need to be taken care of. And so, you know, so many things crop up, you know, maybe selling your house that you're moving from. It's usually negotiating with some powers that be. So it's a time that, even though, like I said, it may be exciting, there's a lot of stress that comes along with that, you know, on parents as well. So in preparing for the move, like, how do you do that with kids? So what are some ideas, June, that, that you have in terms of, like, how do you get kids ready for a move? Like, just the idea of it. And how far, you know, maybe some parents out there would even be wondering, how soon before the move do you tell them? And, you know, those kind of questions. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think you know, in preparing them for a move, it's important to consider, first of all, their age, and, you know, depending on their age, how far in advance do you tell them? Obviously, you don't want to tell a 3-year-old that it's 6 months away,
right?
You know, so you have to, you know, kind of gauge that according to you know, their developmental level. And, you know, I think one of the most important things is to be able to, like, explain to them the reason for the move. Because if a child, you know, children are egocentric. And so, you know, if it's not really explained to them, they could believe that the move might be for some negative reason concerning them. You know, just a thought there on that. But I think being able to explain reasons, and I have to admit, when my first move was with my son, we only had my son at the time, and he was little. He was only about 2.5, and I'm gonna come right out and say that I don't really believe that I prepared him all that well. I think I underestimated you know, where he was, and that as long as we were with him, and, you know, he would be totally fine with the whole thing. And
I'm going to interrupt you for a second here, because I think that raises, like, I just want to make sure that we really illuminate that, is that, like, I think that because we, you know, as parents get so caught up in the details of moving, you know, like everything has to get packed, and when are the movers coming, and when's our closing date, and, you know, all these kind of things, is that sometimes is exactly what happens, is we forget that this is taking, you know, that stress, even, again, though it may be positive, felt in the home, takes its toll on, you know, your child. And if you have a, you know, a sensitive, observant, you know, thoughtful kid, mm-hmm. they're going to pick up on that, you know. So I think that sounds like, you know, part of what happened.
Yeah, and you know, for at the time, my son was in a, you know, I guess it was more, maybe he was more toward 3, but he was in a preschool setting, and he had never had any difficulty with, you know, separation or anything like that. And then all of a sudden he started, before the move, he started having, you know, he would be crying at school, and he was having a really tough time. And what I did learn after was he was worried. He kept hearing about the move. And he was afraid. He was scared the move was going to happen while he was at preschool, and that somehow he was going to get separated and wouldn't be included in it. And it was a really tough time for him. And it, you know, it kind of clued me into, like, we haven't done a very good job of explaining this to him and reassuring him.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, this raises a couple of really good issues. I'm so glad you started off with this story, because it also, you know, speaks to, like you said earlier, like you don't need to tell a three-year-old 6 months ahead of time. But so when you're talking about moving to your kids, you have to make it developmentally appropriate. So the way that, you know, I was talking to my eight, almost nine-year-old at the time about moving was a little bit different than I talked to my 13-year-old about moving. So, you know, depending on where they're at, that makes a difference, you know, as well. And I think if you're talking about timing, too, that even very young children have a sense of time that is, like, usually connected to seasons or holidays. So that's a good way to, like, let them know about the timing. So this will be, you know, our last New Year's celebration at this house, or this will be our next spring, we will be celebrating Easter at that house or apartment, you know, so that they have a sense about that. But, you know, the other thing that your story about your son raises too is that there are a lot of losses that come with moving for kids, and sometimes we really feel them, you know, too. I mean, one of the things in moving from the house that I just did, I lived there for almost 14 years, and we had the kids' growth charts, like, on the wall where we would pencil in, you know, house. And we had to leave that. And I think that's, like, the only, for me, that's the only thing, really, that I miss. But having it, you know, not having that. But moving can mean changing schools for school-age kids, preschools or daycare for younger kids. It can be moving away from family. It could be moving. A change of climate can be a loss. You know, there's so many things that come with it. So just really respecting that, although they're just sort of coming along for the move in a way, is honoring what they might be experiencing because of that, and preparing them for that. I think this is a theme that we have brought up regardless of subjects, is that on these podcasts, is that kids, like most people, do better when they're prepared, when they know what to expect. And so as much as you can do that, you want to be able to do that with, like, the age appropriateness.
Exactly. And I think it's, you know, depending on if the move is local or if it's far away, local, it's a little bit easier in that way to prepare them by actually showing them, you know, okay, this is, we're going from here to here, and to be able to, that they actually see where they'll be going, and, oh, this is the school you'll be going to, and you know, this is where the library is, and things like that. If it's not local, it's a little bit more difficult, it's a little bit more difficult, but yet the way things are with technology and stuff, it's easy to go even on the internet and depending on the age of your child, but to be able to show them, you know, little things about the community and things, you know, about that area that they'll be going to live in.
Right. And I think I'm really glad that you said that too, because the technology can really be our friend here, you know, in terms of, one is being able to give children a sense of where they're going, you know, where you're moving to as a family, but two, help keep them connected to where they, you know, where they were living prior. So, you know, there's no reason not to use technology in this kind of instance to help even prepare for the move. I also think, and this is something I've been thinking a lot about and know to be true, both in the kids, that I see in counseling, but also Just, you know, kids have other interpersonal interactions with my own kids. Kids like to be helpful. And so, so in preparing for the move, one of the things that you might, you know, engage your kid in is what do they want to do to help prepare for the move. So if you have a older kid, I would say maybe 8 or older, but some precocious ones who are a little, you know, littler than that too, you can ask them that as an open-ended question. How would you like to help, you know, with the move? When they're moving, they don't really have a lot of power and control, right? So this gives them at least an illusion of some power and control. Like, they can choose what to do. So, like, packing up, you know, particular things might be something that they can help with. And then they also really feel part of it. So I think, you know, one tip that I would have definitely is in preparing for the move is how is involving your kids in ways that they want to be, you know, involved and is, you know, well-suited to them as children. Like, they don't need to know how you're going to come up with the financing or anything like that. But that might be a little too much of a burden for, you know, a fourth grader. But you know, to use that, those conversations with them to get them, you know, engaged in the process of moving. Like, I mean, one of the things I know that even my son was worried about at almost 9 years old, he had just turned 9 when we moved a couple months ago, is that, you know, he was worried about, like, well, how are we going to get our food there, you know? And, you know, will there be food at the new house? And so, you know, it seemed like such a simple thing, but he goes food shopping with my husband. They do that together a lot. And so, you know, he helped write the list of the things, because we threw out a lot of stuff that needed to be thrown out. He helped write the list of food for the new house and other things that we might need from the grocery store, you know, when they went. So being part of that, labeling boxes. My daughter was not enthusiastic about packing boxes, but she could label boxes like nobody's business. And so just giving them those, and I think that, like, the other piece of that is, you know, being really patient in the way that your kids are going to help, you know, is that recognizing that they might not pack or label a box the way that you would, or they might not, you know, clean something the way that you would, but they are, from their own perspective, seeing themselves as contributing and helping, and that's way more important than the box being packed perfectly, and to be able to let go of some of that stuff.
Exactly. And also, I mean, as the day gets closer, to use, this is pretty much common sense, but to have those special security items to make sure that they are easily within reach, that you know exactly where they are, so that somehow they don't get mixed up in the whole, in the whole moving van or whatever it is. That those are important things to have, to have it's so that the child has those security things.
Yeah, you want to keep those on your person. I also like, one of the things that I have written a book on, counseling children and adolescents through grief and loss. That's actually the title of it, so it's kind of intuitive. And it came out a couple of years ago. But in this book, one of the things that myself and my co-author did was we created a bunch of interventions to use in counseling, but they're really well suited, you know, in terms of just connecting with your kids. And one of them was about, you know, specifically about moving and the idea of that there's going to be a lot of goodbyes. There's going to be goodbyes to your house or your home or your apartment or, you know, your trailer, where you are living. There's going to be a goodbye to that. And there's, you know, you can take those memories with you, but you can't, like, it's still a goodbye. And then also to what are the hellos that are going to happen on the on the other end. So, you know, with some kids that I've worked with clinically, we've made, you know, goodbye hello books that have, you know, some of the, even if it's just, some had photos in it, but some kids just wrote about memories or had me write about memories or, you know, drew some pictures, things that were really important to them from where they used to live to where they were going. And what were some of the exciting hellos and opportunities, so to speak, that they had. that they had the potential of having in the, you know, their new place. And that was, you know, as I'm, you know, sort of reflecting on that, I think one of the wonderful things that we had at our old home was we had eagles that would fly, like really in our backyard, and it was it doesn't get old to see a majestic.
No, it really doesn't.
Oh my gosh,
it's
so thrilling. Yeah, and it was, and I mean, we would gather everybody. There's an eagle, we'd all run out the window, and some, you know, and sometimes we could see more than one, or we could see them, you know, catch a fish and soaring. So we had so many, you know, beautiful moments like that. And even though we only moved, like I said, about a mile and a half away, we're not in the same exact area. So we don't get the eagles where we are now. And so we were kind of all missing our eagles a little bit. And one of our old neighbors was kind enough to give us some pictures that she had taken of the eagles. And we put that up in our new house. So it's like,
though
we had to say goodbye to that, we traded eagles for deer. even though we had to say goodbye to that, those are things that you can bring with you that, like, they were really special moments. And, you know, I think even, you know, having guests at our house where, you know, we'd say, oh, you might be lucky enough to see an eagle today, you know, that it really was one of the ways that we, like, identified ourselves as a family. It was something that we all had a connection around. So bringing those, you know, connections with you, you can pack up an eagle even, you know, if you...
Yeah, exactly. And I think another thing too is in the moving process to also possibly like get the child stuff in order first. Like when you get to where you're going, make sure that they feel comfortable and all of their stuff is set up first, so that they can begin to kind of acclimate to their new place a little bit easier.
That's a great idea. I didn't do that. I set up my stuff first. but in hindsight, now I kind of wish we had this conversation before we moved. But yeah, I think that, you know, that's an excellent idea, getting it, you know, at least so it's comfortable, you know, for them. And maybe I think we've talked about this some other ways, doing something a little special, like your first day or night that you stay in the new home. I know, like, my kids, it was particularly, you know, houses, and also certainly new apartments, they sound different, right? So, you know, sometimes it's kind of difficult for the kids to get to sleep or to stay asleep. And that's just the novelty of it. So if you can be prepared for that, you know, and do something that is relaxing, you know, like a relaxation or meditation or reading books or something that, like, is relaxing before they, you know, have that first night in the new place, that, you know, that's a big deal as well. It'll go a long way. And again, I think that, and this is a common theme in terms of the things we talk about too, June, is just being, you know, recognizing your own stress level and managing that. Because if you're super stressed out and freaking out about, you know, the move and, you know, frazzled, and I'm using all these words because I'm just reflecting upon myself and my movement.
Yeah.
Is that if you're that way, your kids pick up on that. They are like, you know, super duper readers of nonverbals, and they know you so well. And so so some of their acting out or being uncooperative or anything like that may very well just be a reaction to, you know, the overall feeling of stress in the home. So... being careful about that.
Yeah, exactly. Because there, you know, I remember how I felt when I moved, and especially when I not necessarily when I moved across town, but when I moved.
Right.
But there was still a certain amount of loss that I felt even across town. But when we moved out of state, it's really an odd feeling to go from being around, you know, extended family and friends, to all of a sudden, in our case, being in a place where it was just my husband, me, and our little son. And right. I just remember feeling like, wow, these are all the people I have, you know, in my circle right now. And as it turns out, I mean, we think back on this now and, you know, it was a really positive time. It felt a little strange in the beginning, but it was really positive for, you know, for not only like my husband and my relationship, but our relationship as a family that we, like we had to, all we had was each other. And so it kind of strengthened a lot of, you know, it strengthened that relationship.
Yeah. And I think even in moving just across town, like I, you know, like I just did, is that there is that as well, because you had to, I mean, my kids are a little bit older, so I don't know if that's part of what made the difference, maybe. But I think that we had to do it as a family. Like there was no way that we weren't as a family. Like a level of cohesiveness, you know, comes from doing that together too. You have to cooperate with each other. You have to, you know, figure out your new landscape, you know, whether it's a new community or it's the same community. You know, I think that you still have to, like, figure those kind of things out. We're all still meeting the new neighbors or, you know, that.
Right. It's kind of like this adventure you're all on together, you know, even if it is just a couple houses away or across town or whether it be out of state, it's this adventure you're all on together.
Yeah. And I think that was particularly with younger kids, and by younger kids, I mean probably like 7 and younger, to use that terminology, adventure, you know, something that they're familiar with. It's we're going on a quest, you know, something that can be exciting to them and, you know, have them, you know, be part of that process. And, you know, the other thing, and I meant to say it a little bit earlier, was if you are moving, like, in an ideal situation and looking at houses or apartments or condos or, you know, trailers, whatever, is that having your kids be part of that is also going to make moving a much more blissful thing. So when we were looking for our new home, I mean, we had a list of demands that, you know, my husband and I, we have to have these things. And then we asked, you know, the kids, what do you have to have in a new house? And my son, for example, was he had to have a climbing tree. So at our, you know, our former house, we had, you know, some nice trees, but none that he could climb. So he really wanted a climbing tree. And every place that we looked at, that was like the first thing that he looked for. Do they have sufficient climbing trees? And so, you know, so even making them part, if the circumstance fits, even making them part, you know, of the process. And my daughter, had to have closets. So a big closet, and she got one. So they're satisfied.
Right. Well, and it's even my when my children were little, and one of our moves when they were really little, it's interesting the way kids perceive, you know, looking at other houses. And I remember, you know, taking them to see a few houses, and I at the time only had my two little sons, and I remember my one son saying to the other, I think we should get this one. And he mentioned, like, the toys that were in this one room, and he thought that was really cool. And he was under the impression that everything that was in the house came with the house. So he was basing his selection on, like, wow, that kid had, you know, there was a room with boys' toys that were really cool, so I think I want this house. And then my other son kind of said, like, oh, he started thinking, well, no, then our stuff stays with our house, and we won't have our stuff. So that it's interesting the way they, like, perceive that whole, like, move thing.
Yeah, and that, I think, has to really be explained to them, because even my, you know, like, my son at 9, that's what he thought. He thought, like, we get their furniture, and we get their ordinary chair, and their shampoo. So, so just, I think if you're doing that, too, you'll have to, like, that's the opportunity for you to educate your kids. And talking to your kids is definitely one way to have freakishly well-behaved kids, that's for sure, is, you know, keeping those conversations and connections together. So, Jim, we're almost out of time.
This oh, my gosh, we're so gabby.
We are gabby today. I just wanted to say thank you. And, you know, it's just... remembering that moving is a transition, and it may be a time of loss for your kids. So keeping your eyes open for any symptoms or any concerns that you have, because it can make a kid feel kind of down. So thank you for listening, and check in again with us soon. Goodbye, June.
Bye. Thanks, Jody.